Joining us on the WBGO Journal, two great friends to the radio station, Dwayne Clark and his wife, Janice Freeman Clark, both involved in A Portrait of Ray, now coming to the Cutting Room in New York City, and that will be coming up next Monday. Great to see you both.
Great to be here.
Thank you so much for having us. I do appreciate it.
It's a thrill to have you both in here. As you know, I had a rare opportunity to get out on an evening and watch A Portrait of Ray at Newark Symphony Hall back when I took my daughter, and we were just wowed. We felt like we were in the presence of the great Ray Charles. And that has something to do with our guest today, Dwayne Clark, and his cohort in crime, Janice Freeman Clark. Janice, you wrote and produced this show for your husband, and it's been getting rave reviews ever since, hasn't it?
It has. You know, it was a joint venture. We wrote it together after a performance that he had at an assisted living facility, which he frequents and brings the gift of Broadway to elders in different communities. And I just happened to go and watch him one day, and he put on a pair of glasses and turned into Ray Charles. And afterwards, I just ran up to him and said, "We have to do this show." I mean, I was really blessed in the audience watching him give back to this community, and they were just mesmerized. And by the end, they were all singing America the Beautiful with him. And I was like, this is beautiful. This is amazing. Now let's make a show.
And that show, A Portrait of Ray, a tribute to Ray Charles, now coming to the Cutting Room in New York City. It takes us back to 1967 in Greenville, Florida, in a homecoming concert. And I want to tell you, Dwayne, I felt like I was there. How do you put the audience in that mode?
Well, again, thank you so much for having me in, and Janice, I do appreciate it. You know, there's something about the spirit of Ray that, I don't know, it's just like I can connect to him for some reason. You know, my dad used to play his records when I was a boy growing up, and I really didn't know what I was listening to back then, honestly, you know. But, you know, something about his journey, man, it's like when I put on the glasses, something just happens to me. And it's like I almost feel his spirit living in me and through me. And I think that's why I can kind of sort of just from the beginning, even from the first thing that I actually say more than sing, when I just say, hey, how's everybody doing tonight? Yeah. You know, as soon as I go there, it's just like he's in me and on me. So it's just such a humbling thing to be able to tap in, and people actually dig it. It's like, yeah, that's awesome.
You know, you're such a wonderful person, too. It comes across. And when we see you smile here in the studio, you have one of the greatest smiles. You two both are performers on Broadway, and you were amazing in The Color Purple. You've done so many things, and you're both with the Vanguard Theater Company. That's the brainchild of Janice, and doing so many great things with kids. But today I want to talk about this show. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how has Ray changed for Dwayne Clark since this play started?
Well, when we first started this, actually, I'll just say this, the inspiration came from several places, and there were several ways that I think we could have approached this project. We could have done it, you know, just as a kind of thing where you have like 25 people in the cast and everybody coming and telling a different story, you know, and then you could have it as a one-man show as well. So when the initial thought of it, you know, sitting down trying to just tell a story with song without even the dialogue in there yet, that was a difficult task because he has such an array of hits. So first to sit down and put 17 songs together that could just tell a story was like, wow, this is a challenge. And then just going and watching every live interview I could find of Ray, every live concert that I mean, hours and hours of research putting it into it, and then putting it all together for this thing. So ever since we did it for the gala, when the first gala happened, I really didn't know what was going to happen. I know people are going to be like, what is he doing? He's trying to be, you know, Jamie Foxx or na-na-na, you know. But I always tried to channel Ray. I think Jamie did an amazing job, and I can never do what Jamie did because that's one in a million. So what I tried to do was go right to the source of what I would see on the YouTube. Jamie had the privilege of actually working alongside him. That must have been a great, great privilege. But to actually see Ray and see how he was in interviews with Dick Cavett, you know, when he would ask him a question, he would say, you know, well, listen,
I started to lose my sight when I was about 5. Me and my mama, we went to the doctor, and he said, man, you're about to lose your sight, daddy-o. And me and my mama, we really didn't get down about it enough. You know, she took me home, and she said, listen here, Ray, I ain't going to have no sympathy for you, understand? I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to count your steps, you understand? And I want you to start memorizing where you are. I want you to feel where the sink is, and I want you to feel the table, and also I want you to boil some water, boy. You know, so, you know, getting into all of that, you know, was just amazing. So this gift of Ray is amazing for me. It's changed my perspective on a whole lot of things. And just his business sense about the business. So many guys think they're doing something when this man paved the way for so many artists to be able to do what they do. So I'm just grateful. I'm blessed that, you know, 70-year-old people, 80-year-old people come up to me after the performance. They're like, you know, I saw Ray 15 times. This one lady came up to me. She said, I saw Ray 15 times. You know, with a finger in my face, you know. But she was like, you did all right. You did all right.
You know, there was this so that was one awesome. Performance we did where there was a man who probably was in his early 80s, maybe late 70s. And he came and I just noticed him from the moment he walked in the room, and he was all alone, and he sat down with his program, and I was seated behind him, and he literally cried from the first song to the last, and just touched me. And, you know, afterwards I gave him a big hug, and, you know, he shared with me the story that was, you know, Ray Charles belonged to him and his wife. Like, that was the artist that they were in love with, and they went to see so many concerts. And he said, thank you, because I experienced another real Ray Charles concert. So thank you for that gift.
That's humbling.
Let's let the good times roll. How about a little performance for us?
Yeah, daddy, let's do it. Let's do it.
Dwayne Clark as Ray Charles, A Portrait of Ray, running at the Cutting Room on the 21st in New York City. When you hear a Ray Charles song now on the radio and you're driving around or you're listening in your headphones and it just comes out of the blue, what happens to you?
It just happens, man. It's like my head starts going, my shoulders start going, my feet start going. I don't know if anybody ever really watched Ray in concert. He conducted everything with his feet, his head, and his shoulders. It wasn't like a nervous thing or anything. It was very purposeful. So even if I'm driving a car, man, and something happened, my head just happens to go. You know, there's the voice. There it is. It just gets right in there. Daddy.
And let's also mention, you know, that his sunglasses live in the car.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I have them with me right now. So.
You know, it's kind of like, oh, Doug, I thank you so much, man, for letting me come down here to WBGO, man. It's such a pleasure, you know. So he just lives in me, man. It's just part of me.
You did answer a question, though. You did do Ray without the sunglasses today.
I did.
So you can do that.
Yes, I guess I can. Yeah, tap into that, brother.
I didn't know if you could or not, because when I saw the glasses, I said, he really has to get into character.
I know, yeah. Well, that dude, man, it's just something about him. You know, he did a lot for music, and I think a lot of artists really don't understand the history, which is why I think a lot of kids may enjoy this as well, you know, eventually, because the history lesson and the live instrumentation. Now, on Broadway shows, we do have live instrumentation. Some of the, you know, the orchestra pits are underneath the stage, so a lot of people don't realize there's live music. And then some shows do have the music on stage, but this is one where they could actually see it. You know what I mean? Like they can really, really feel those brass going and really hear that drummer and feel that Hammond B3 organ, you know, just rumbling through the audience. So I envision all of that. I see all of it.
Janice, you and Dwayne have done so much with the Vanguard Theater for young, upcoming actors and actresses. You really are giving back to the community and to the arts community. And I think that was a great point that Dwayne just made, is the fact that so many people have not had the opportunity to see Ray Charles. And you're keeping the music alive, but you're also keeping the nightclub kind of feel too alive, because I really felt like I was in a nightclub that night at Symphony Hall.
Yes, that was definitely the goal. The goal for this piece has always been to kind of feel like you're in a dinner theater type vibe. You know, supper clubs just don't exist as much anymore. And I think they're so fun. And it's such a way of just going out and experiencing live music and live entertainment. You know, so many people meet now on like websites and Tinder and Match.com and all of this, instead of just actually going out, hearing live music and, you know, just chatting with people around them and experiencing that gift of live music.
Yeah, so the very first time we did it, Doug, we actually did it at the Women's, what is it called, the Women's
it's
Center?
It's called the Woodlands.
The Woodlands in Maplewood. And that spot was so nice because Janice transformed, it was all her vision, she transformed that into like an old school vibe. And my cousin catered it, which was awesome. So we kind of had the soul food vibe as well going on. And I tell you, man, it was so electric. So we've done it in different settings, but I think the setting that kind of feels the best is the one where the like tables around, or you can have the old school, just some peanuts on there and a drink, or you can have a full meal if you want. That vibe was so, you know, like the Cab Calloway days and all that. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's something about it that I think today people could still relate to, because I think a lot of shows are definitely, you know, going into, you know, you're following the Hamilton thing now and all that. But I think the old school thing can definitely come back, man. I think there's a place for it.
There's definitely a place for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what's a shame is the fact that you have two beautiful children who I happen to see and recently, Lion King Jr., right?
Is it
right?
Yeah.
And you did a wonderful job with getting those young actors together. In fact, our very own Alexandra Hill, our reporter, her daughter Jayla was in that production.
Yes.
Just a wonderful performance. It's too bad that this married couple doesn't get along.
Well, you know what's interesting.
So
let's say, how do I put this?
Oh boy,
so
what's she about to say, Doug? What's happening here?
Ray Charles was known for being a little bit of a, well, more than a little bit, a perfectionist, and a little bit of a tyrant with his musicians. And the interesting thing is, I am very much a perfectionist. Dwayne is a perfectionist in a different way, especially when it comes to this particular show, because he wants to make sure that it is right. He wants to make sure that the band is crisp. He wants to make sure that the girls are classy. He wants to make sure that everything is just so. And so, you know, we often, we work very well together. But the girls, it's funny, the Raylettes, they give them each other a look the moment Dwayne and I start having a discussion.
A creative moment.
Because
you got, you know, when you have two creative minds and you bring those two creative minds together, you know, we just want to marry the vision.
Yes.
And ultimately the goal is, and prayerfully people can look past anything that, you know, her and I may or may not have. But the goal is to put on a good product. And the goal is for people to come. One thing I'll say, this last thing, Doug, is I saw Audra McDonald do Billie Holiday. And that actually gave me the inspiration to know that I possibly could attempt to do Ray. Because from the minute she stepped on to the minute she left, she was Billie in every way. So I'm praying that when people come see us, they don't see Dwayne Clark, they don't see Janela, they don't see Triana, that they see really Ray and the Raylettes. They actually see Marjorie, and they feel Marjorie's pain through those songs.
Yeah.
And they see Fathead Newman, and they hear Fathead like put all of his passion into his solos. That's that's like the goal. So in the creative process, you got to have some fire sometimes.
Yeah,
you know, because then when people come and see it, they go, oh, they actually worked on this and they actually, you know, put some time into it and was passionate about it.
Yeah, without the fire, the fire shows that you care. Right. Yeah. And so we both care so much about this piece. We both, of course, care so much about each other. And so, you know,
it's all good, Doug. You know, man, it's all good.
You know, one of the wonderful things about working here at WBGO was I did get to meet David Fathead Newman. He was here. And I remember, and it was toward the later stages of his life, mm-hmm. but he was here. It was right around the time where Rain the Movie came out, too.
Wow, wow.
And so I feel this connection to royalty, right, just by meeting him and then channeling it through your show. But I did want to say, though, mm-hmm. that, you know, I've met a lot of couples, and you're one of the couples that I feel the love between the two of you. That's why I brought it up that you didn't get along, because I...
thank you.
That man across the table from you, Janice, he adores you, and I know you know that, and it comes through. You can see it when you two are together. Aww. You can see it in your kids because they are already performing. They love what you do, and they listen to you. So, you know, it's very tough in this world when you're two people in the same business. So I wanted to give you just, you know, a real shout out for just being the right way, just doing it the right way, because I know it can't be easy.
Well, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
It's greatly appreciated.
And I'll say that smile that you talked about that Dwayne has, that he exhibits and that you see when he lights up that stage as Ray, that's the same smile that I fell in love with. And so even though, you know, of course, we go through creative differences, our love is first and foremost, and we're making this happen for our family.
Yeah,
And that's what it's all about.
And Doug, I appreciate you saying that. You know, there's something about, you know, the word love, and a lot of people really, you know, it's interesting in today's world. You know, love is something that is a free gift, period. You know, and before I'm a so-called artist or an actor, I am a person and I am a man. And the one thing that I, you know, I'm very, very grateful for is Janice. You know, I knew Janice would be my wife when I first met her. Now, she didn't know that I had to chase her. But I knew that when I first met her, you know, when I first looked into her eyes, I said to myself, this specific woman is going to be my wife. And I know it's weird to say, but I honestly fell in love with her very, very fast. Because I knew, and I knew that we could build a future together. Didn't know exactly what the future was, because I believe in a higher being, of course. So I always had prayed for a wife, right? And I met a lot of women along the way, but there was something about this one. This one, I can actually build something with. She actually is thinking 5 years in advance, you know, not just about going out, having a good time at a bar or something, you know? So that type of thing really, really just resonates with me. And it's beautiful because I don't have a problem telling this woman that I love her. On a daily basis, I don't. You saw, I don't know if you remember that Lion King. She didn't know I was going to do it in front of all those people. I just, you know, because I want people to know that I appreciate the fact that she's a gift from the Creator, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate the gift that she's given me and the gift of life through our children, because it is a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And I think some men sometimes forget how important and how we should treasure the women that we are blessed with. And I'm very, very blessed to have her. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Mm. Pretty nice, huh?
That's so sweet. Thank you.
So let's get a couple more things. I wanted to talk about the Cutting Room in New York City. How did this come about?
Oh, well, the Cutting Room, let me tell you, man, the Cutting Room is a beautiful, beautiful space, good people. You guys have got to come out. It's amazing. So unfortunately, a friend of mine, Trent Kendall, had passed away. And we were doing a memorial for him, a celebration at the Cutting Room, because the Cutting Room was one of the spots where he actually did a live show with his band, and where he did a show about Louis Armstrong, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. So that night I had actually sang A Change Gonna Come, because it was just a song that we had done together. I had sang with him. And the owner of the club named Steve, shout out to Steve, he was so kind. He came up to me right after I got off stage. He's like, man, he's like, you got to come back and do something. I was like, man, I got a show. But, you know, I'm always ready, baby. You know, yes. I have my card in hand. He was like, you got to come back and do something. I was like, man, I got a show, brother. I was like, no, I got a show about Ray. He's like, good. Come back. Here's my number. He wrote his number down. Next day, I call him. So, you know, it's happened very, very quickly. This has happened in less than a month. Normally, we take some other time, but I felt like this needed to happen right away. So what I'm doing is I got some horns from Manhattan School of Music, man. I'm reaching out to the young people. They are tremendous, tremendous young students, and these guys are top-notch. I think our girls are top-notch. We're mentoring them as we go. And the musical director, his name is Alva. He's an amazing, amazing guy. And our drummer, Greg, is going to be amazing. So I think it's going to be really cool. Now, the spot itself is just, it's a history lesson, just like walking through WBGO. Mm-hmm. A lot of great acts have been there. They have nice little spaces, you know, so you can come and mingle, meet new people, you know, just have a good time, enjoy some music, you know, and get a little history lesson, good people.
Certainly love that. Now, Ray comes back to the cutting room, and he sits down in the front row to watch Dwayne Clark be Ray Charles. Mm. What would your reaction be? And then if he came backstage, well, you only had a chance to really say a couple of things to him. You know, a lot of people see you perform in all these shows, you and Janice, and sometimes people are, you know, almost afraid to ask, you know, or what do you say to somebody after you've seen a wonderful performance? What would you say to Ray Charles before he had a chance to say something to you?
That is an amazing question, Doug. You are so deep, man. You know that? You are deep, brother. Well, first, I would hope that no one would have told me that he was in the first row. I would say that. Most of the time when I'm doing Ray, I actually have my eyes closed, believe it or not. And I would hope that no one would have said, hey, Ray's in the audience, because I probably would have freaked out. But if it just so happened that he was there and I happened to meet him in the green room or just coming off stage and his aura, I would probably cry first. I would probably have some tears, and I would have a lot of thanks. I would be telling him, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the gift of you. Thank you for believing in your talent and serving it to the world, because his service was amazing. And for me to be able to sit and actually have the privilege to sing any of your songs is humbling. It's a tremendous blessing. And all I want to do is try to honor you and the things and the legacy that you left here for me as an African-American man to follow my dreams as a musician, as an artist, as an actor, and maybe as an activist.
You know, when we say that Dwayne Clark is a Broadway veteran, and Newark native, you know, we're talking about some of the best Broadway shows ever that he's being associated.
Oh, you're kind.
The Color Purple, Spider-Man, In the Heights, Rent, Smokey Joe's Cafe, Urinetown, where you two met, right? Was
yes.
In Urinetown, right?
Urinetown,
yeah,
yes.
That's where we met.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the most amazing shows that we've ever seen. So you know what it's like to be a part of an amazing hit show. What would it mean to have a portrait of Ray make it to Broadway?
It would be an absolute dream come true. I am into self-visualization. And many years ago when we sat and started writing this, I visualized it eventually being on Broadway. And I do believe that that's going to come to fruition. I am a big believer in speaking things into existence. And sometimes you do have to make your own way. You do. You do have to step out as an artist and say, hey, this thing really needs to live. It really needs to live. So for, I believe, Janice and I, the pleasure of just giving the gift of music to people for healing, it would be a tremendous, tremendous honor. I mean, I'm getting a little emotional because it's just, you know, the ups and downs of the business, and, you know, sometimes you make mistakes, and you know what I mean? It's just, it's hard, but it would be a tremendous gift. And I think Ray's music would be a tremendous gift, and in addition to what's already out there, you know. Yeah.
Janice, you get the final word on that. What would you feel if this did make it to Broadway?
I think there's a space for it. I definitely think there's a space for it. I love how Broadway is so contemporary right now, and how there's so much spoken word and hip hop, and I think that's wonderful. It'd be also really great to have a tribute to the king of soul. Some believe that he was the creator of soul music, and there's something so special about the music that he brought to the world. And when you experience a portrait of Ray, you feel like you've been transported back to that time. It's a nice departure from our day-to-day hustle and bustle to just really experience the music of this amazing artist, and also to hear his story. Duane does an amazing job telling Ray's story in a way. I mean, listen, Ray had ups and downs, and just like we all do. And I think that he accepted responsibility for the choices that he made, and he lived his life. He lived his best life, and that's what we want everyone to do, right? To just live their best life.
Those interested in coming to see the show or want more information, where can they go?
Hey, Daddy-o, thank you so much. Listen, y'all, I want you to come out to the cutting room, all right? Listen, what you can do is, you know, my day, we didn't have all this stuff here, Daddy-o. Listen, y'all go on the website there, thecuttingroom.com, and then you can cut on, click on, what is it called? You click on it. That's what you do, Daddy-o. You click on that thing, and it'll say A Portrait of Ray, A Tribute to the Great Ray Charles, okay? And what you can do is you purchase tickets on Ticketfly.com, Ticketfly.com, or you can go to aportraitofray.weebly. That's also another thing you can do there. And listen, the ticket price is very, very affordable. Come and have a good time, all right, at the Cutting Room, okay, in New York City, all right? I look forward to seeing you there. Yeah.
And you won't be disappointed. Duane Clark and Janice Freeman Clark, always a pleasure to have you on the WBGO Journal. Continued success to both of you.
Thank you so much,
Thank
sir. Appreciate
you.
It.